Rise and shine, St. Louis. It's the Ryan Kelly Morning After with Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, and Doug Vaughn. It's time to start your day off right. Now, here's Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the program today in the BP credit card 7 o'clock hour. Brad Lee, who hosted the 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. show today, he is the co-publisher of St. Louis Game Time. He's going to stop by the program in the BP credit card 7 o'clock hour to give us his Blues opinions as they head into a game this evening against the Pittsburgh Penguins, and what his thoughts are on a couple of topics, but really three main topics, I think, that are irking Blues fans, concerning Blues fans.
What are the topics, Tim?
Not goaltending.
I was going to name goaltending. Should I withdraw?
Yeah.
Find another one.
All right, I'll withdraw.
It's been done.
There are some people who aren't real big fans of the head coach at this moment. And then also what the Blues will do with Kevin Shattenkirk here over the next few weeks.
So, any talk of spirit wins?
There could be one tonight.
Okay. All right.
There could be one tonight. So that's going to happen in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. And then 8 o'clock, WWE Recap with Larry Nickel. We had to push it back just a little bit. He's fresh off a great Periscope session.
What did he do again, Tim? Because I saw you on
last
Twitter.
Last night. And then at 9 o'clock, S.E. Cup, conservative columnist and CNN commentator. She is going to be with us. And at this point, I think you can say friend of the show. I think this is like her fourth or fifth appearance. So S.E. Cup will be with us at 9 o'clock. This is the Sea Monster. I assume this is the Sea Monster. I got to guess who books the guests because Sea Monster caught me off guard with a Mia Khalifa a couple weeks ago.
Oh, he's sneaky vile.
He is.
That little CZ.
But we really haven't talked politics. We really haven't talked politics on the show since the election all that much. And then the Sea Monster just doesn't care what kind of offense I care to run, just inserts SE Cup. And I'm like, all right, I guess it's on again. So S.E. Cup will join us.
Not a pretty political climate right now, Tim.
It's a hot one. My bell's not nigh.
I almost dread even going back there. We talked
right,
about
that's
it.
Why
we
I
did
love
talk about it.
Her segments, because they're thought-provoking, challenging in the sense that she makes you think and does not line up necessarily with talking points. But then it's like, oh, here we go.
She she's not a fan of Trump. She was anti-Trump, but now she, I think her stance is he deserves a chance. So we'll see what she has to say. But even in this political climate, saying he deserves a chance, you will have outrage on both sides.
Yeah. I can't imagine a country being more split right down the middle, evenly divided between the parties.
It's kind of sad.
Yeah. Well.
But we're the show of record in St. Louis, and we've been known to bring people together. And
I know a lot about Pennsylvania, and it's great.
What's great about
How's
it?
How's Joe Paterno? We're going to bring that back?
Oh, no. She fell out of the upper deck.
How about that whole deal?
So we're going to bring people together with S.E. Cup.
Yes. So she'll be with us at 9 o'clock. Larry, last night sent out a tweet. Doug, did you happen to see it?
Missed it.
He sent out a tweet around like 7 o'clock, fresh off of Wheel of Fortune. And the title of the tweet was, I'm going live on Periscope to vent on the wardrobe of Vanna White.
Mm. Yeah. See, everybody's upset about something.
And Larry, I'm telling you, there's like a vibrator or something on his couch.
Actually have, and I was telling Seymour, I'm pretty proud of this. There is, I'd say about 40 seconds into this clip, maybe a minute, a perfect vibrate right in between dead silence.
That's what you look for,
Doug. Amped it up a little bit, so you made sure to hear it, and we'll also use it as a drop to have our secondary vibrate.
What do you think it is, Plowsy?
It's just another phone.
It's got to be another phone.
I don't know what he's got in there. I don't know. I think it's a Hitachi Magic Wand.
I don't
think
so.
It just keeps going off. It's a Rogue Hitachi Magic Wand.
I don't think so.
But I think a lot of people are kind of wondering, what's going on with Vanna White? And Larry took to Periscope to give his take.
Well, how can you not like Vanna White?
Well, hold on. You got to hear it. Maybe he'll make you think.
All right. Well, hello, guys. Again.
Hey, Larry.
I'm on here this time because I am venting about the wardrobe of one Vanna White,
right,
who the letter turner on Wheel of Fortune.
Yes.
To me, I think she should wear the short skirt.
Oh, Larry.
And shuffle leg, because they need to.
Forgot my point.
I hate when they do that, have Vanna wear long skirts with long slips.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't do that a.
Forgot my point again.
That's just something that they do every so often, and I would do Vanna White.
Hey, come
like
on,
like I said, they need to get rid of the long skirt or part of the wardrobe and buy more short skirts for her to wear. Because the long ones don't do her legs any justice.
No,
I will not do Doug. He is not spring that way. I will not do Tim either.
Wait, was that real?
I don't spring that way.
Yes,
I don't spring that way because I don't. I like guys as friends. That is it. As friends, mm-hmm. But I like more of the female kind.
Right.
But anyway, that's my rant for tonight. I'll talk to you guys later.
All right.
See ya.
See you later.
By the way, I am a boop and ass guy. Well, anyway, talk to you guys later.
Now, Tim, yeah, help me.
He shuts it down. I noticed it was 2:42 is when it lasted. It was a 2:42 rant on the attire of Vanna White, who, for the record, is 62 years old.
And still looks fabulous, by the way.
And then usually I set the over-under about 15 and a half seconds for the time where he signs off to how he figures out to turn off the Periscope session, because there's about 15 seconds of dead time while his phone swings around and he tries to turn it off. And he was turning it off, and I guess somebody asked one more question, and that's when he revealed that he is a boob and ass man.
So on Periscope, you're sitting there doing it and people are giving
asking
you questions. So
yeah.
That's where Doug came in. Someone asked him,
yes,
about Doug,
probably, so.
Or being a boob man.
Yeah. 38 seconds, Tim. Is
38 seconds. That's, yeah, what it was. The over
and
under,
a lot
the
of
over
thumbs
covers.
Over the, like, you could just see his thumb trying. I mean, he's really trying.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah. Guys, short skirt. She's 60 years old. Her varicose veins look like a road map of New York City.
No, they don't.
Is that true?
No.
What, like Chelsea?
Vanna looks about as good as you could look at 62.
Plus, they never shoot her close up anyway. And give her a break. She
they
seems
could.
Like a
she's
lovely
still
person.
Very attractive. She is.
Tim, tell me another community college wrestling insider who gets 800 people to watch his Periscope criticizing Vanna White's wardrobe.
That's from he Prod had 800 Joe's, people?
Prod Joe's more popular MMF.
Did you chart that?
I did not chart it, but Prod Joe's more popular MMF did.
Well, sometimes on the text line, the information is not necessarily factual.
Let's see how many have looked at it so far. 964.
God bless this guy.
Yep.
He's got something.
He starts off with a scene setter of his table.
Oh, Tim, I don't want to see.
With two Coke Zeros, cutting back on the calories, and then a bag of chips. And then he spins the camera, and all of a sudden, you are locked in. Like, hey, yeah, what's he got to say about Vanna White?
Wait, now you're a guy who cares about your diet more so than others. Would you recommend that as a healthy snack? A couple of Coke Zeros and a bag of chips?
Absolutely.
All right, just checking.
Those are what we call empty calories.
I'm surprised, because when he comes on our show to do the wrestling recap, that guy is on point. And I noticed, and maybe I'm being overly critical, that there were a couple of key points in his 2-minute and 40-second diatribe where he totally lost his train of thought.
I lost 21 pounds by doing nothing.
Well, if you just wouldn't eat so much, you'd lose a little weight.
It was the real deal, Holyfield.
Okay.
So he's sailing in for the night with some chips, a couple of sodas, and Wheel of Fortune?
That's correct.
Okay. Iggy, if I were you, I wouldn't take shots, because I think the Texans might be all over you
for what?
A certain misstep you had the other day.
Well, that's
things
not,
that you were.
That's not going to stop.
Things
what does that have to do with watching Wheel of Fortune
well,
with
because
a bag of chips and
in
a soda?
In fairness, you were searching out a certain variety of film and then were surprised by one of the results that you.
The most beautiful breast I've ever seen, and then a penis.
Okay. Mm. Well done, sir. Mm.
I didn't have a bag of chips and two sodas. I had a cup of coffee and was just making a day of it.
Making a day of it.
Producer Joe said some people like things and others don't.
Yep.
Something
yep.
like that.
Insightful is what he said. Guys, he could easily have somebody sponsor these. He needs to start making money off this. In 304. We always have these guys with MBAs texting into the show.
Right.
Yeah, he needs to do that. How? I don't know. Back to work. You can text in 855-282-8255, 855-282-8255. You can also call in the Appliance Discount or phone lines. Email in our Hot Shots email of the day, presented by Hot Shots Sports Bar and Grill. Hot Shots voted number one sports bar in St. Louis by readers of the Riverfront Times at one of their 11 locations today. Hot Shots, the sponsor of our email today. They have hockey nights, Doug, and it's on Tuesday. And you know what today is?
Tuesday.
That's right. So Hot Shots South County is where you can watch the Blues and Laissez Penguin this evening.
Hot not Shots on Fox Sports Midwest.
It is not.
No.
NBC?
It's NBC.
The morning after at InsideSTL.com. BP Credit Cards, 7 o'clock hour. BP Credit Cards, the sponsor of the 7 o'clock hour on this award-winning radio presentation. SE Cup with us at 9 o'clock. Larry Nickel. Maybe we'll get another take on Vanna White's attire. 8 o'clock. And then Brad Lee of St. Louis Game Time with us here in studio as he just got done hosting the 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. presentation. And Doug, he will give us his perspective on where the Blues are heading into this evening's game and then the break. And also want to make sure that I drive home the point that we have the first annual Bowling with Buds tournament presented by Bud Select this Saturday at St. Charles Lanes. Register your team of five for $150. And get three games of bowling with shoe rental. There will be three flights of winners, beer and food specials, plus more. Come on out to St. Charles Lanes on January 28th from 1 to 5 to enjoy fellowship with other listeners and some 590 The Fan Show hosts. Sign up your team of five now at InsideSTL.com. Iggy, are you bowling?
I am. I don't know what team yet, but I'll bowl.
Maybe we got to get on the same team, brah.
Are you going to bowl?
I guess I will.
Let's put a TMA team together. Me, you, Plowsy, Cat, and Cat's kid.
I don't know if the cat was planning on going. So
I said I would stop by.
I won't put you on the spot there.
Just understand that as much as I come across as a man who is large and in charge, on the home front, my vote counts.
Little.
It doesn't count.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can relate to that. But what I think is going to happen on a weekend, unless it's work... usually doesn't, but mm-hmm. I am going to try, and it's a nice event, and we like bowling, and they have fries.
They do have fries. Yeah. They do have fries.
The only thing I don't like is that you go to a bowling alley, and the stuff in the holes, I just read some, I'm haunted by that. There's traces of fecal matter in
there shouldn't be.
I'll bring you one of my bowling balls. You can use it.
Right. Zero holes.
Perhaps Larry's Periscope is sponsored by Coke Zero. That's from Jamie. Doug, that's like a girl, possibly.
I doubt it.
Hey, Iggy, don't let the texters get you down. I love tranny porn, too, and my friends make fun of me also. Thanks, Sean Mahoney's Deadeye.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't like tranny porn. I said there was one tranny that I thought was attractive.
If it's some lady boy from Thailand, there's a chance you haven't heard of her yet.
But with all the stag I watch, I have to tell you, I've never been watching a scene and a rogue tranny shows up. In other words, you have to go looking for it.
Well, he said he was searching a specific thing.
Not necessarily, because I don't know.
I've watched a lot of stag, bro.
Oh, I know, and I know.
It seems like a cross-examination, Tim.
And I know you like free ones a lot. But I'll go to X-Hamster where you can type in what you're looking for.
Live read.
And I don't type in tranny. I typed in Asian. And it didn't say...
And I said hi to Brian Henson. I'm going to say it again. Hold on. Yeah. Hello, Henson.
You know, it might say... Tanomi Tanaka, or a name, or what it is. It just said beautiful Asian. I said, click
and he had
on
a
it.
Rough year with the Yankees last year, correct?
He did. Hideki Matsui did, I think.
He cost me the title.
Okay.
Mention.
But it just said beautiful Asian. So I said, so I clicked on it, and it was a beautiful Asian. Sure. It didn't say beautiful tranny Asian.
No, it did not.
It did. It was false advertising.
You were watching with him?
No, but I'm on his side.
So it just happened to be a good-looking Asian with perfect breast, and then there's a penis. I wasn't expecting that.
No.
But then it went back to the face and the breast, and I couldn't stop watching.
That's right.
All right, let's move on.
So I don't look for tranny porn, no.
But if you see it, you don't mind. Thanks, Tim.
So what are you saying, Iggy? A tranny can't be a beautiful Asian. That's from Sean Mahoney's Deadeye.
I said she
you
was...
You guys might as well just have a conversation off air.
I said he was beautiful, whatever it was.
Hey, Doug, let's meet tonight and try this tranny porn thing. Thanks, Phil the Peacock. It's P-H-Y-L.
No, thanks, Phil. No, thank you.
But you do seem to understand how a mistake like that can be made.
Oh, I don't know. I'm not a regular on that site.
All right, you may step down.
Come on, Doug.
Did I ever step up?
Yes. You were kind of saying it can happen, I thought.
No.
Well, we all make mistakes.
My credo.
We're all human.
Penny saved, penny earned. Penny saved, penny earned?
Yes, that's it.
Thank you very much. Why don't we bring Brad in, since he is here. Fresh off hosting the 5 a.m. to 7 a.m. show.
Yeah.
And Doug, the three main things I want to get his perspective on. The name of the publication, you can sign up for it in the email to every Blues home game, St. Louis Game Time. He's the co-publisher. They work their ass off on this thing.
They
work their ass off.
And it's
off
available
on this thing.
At all home games.
That's right. Right there at the Scott Trade Center.
It's a nice publication.
Brad Lee, co-publisher of St. Louis Game Time, in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Your Gateway Buick GMC, I-270, and McDonald Boulevard online at stbuickgmc.com if you're in the market for a new car. If you're in the market for a used car. If you're in the market to get your car serviced, support the sponsors. Gateway Buick GMC is the studio sponsor of the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Known for their luxury vehicles, and now you can drive one home for under $200 a month. How about that? Lease the all-new 2017 GMC Terrain for only $179.99 a month. Lease a stylish Buick Encore for only $109.99 a month. Gateway Buick GMC understands it's a new year and a new you. Treat yourself to the vehicle you deserve. Book a free test drive today at 888-865-9419. Celebrate the new year. Do so at Gateway Buick GMC. Support the sponsors or you will die.
That's serious.
I'm adding taglines to just right. Try them out. Yeah. Brad, good morning.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you for doing the show this morning, early morning, and thank you for being in studio with us.
The alarm went off at 4:10 this morning.
How'd that treat you?
It was a little dark.
What time were you able to fall asleep earlier, or was it in your kitchen that you had to get up at 4:10 and so you tossed and turned? Tell me what happened.
It was in the kitchen for sure.
That's what happens.
I saw at least 12 or 12:30, I think.
As you got out of bed, did you have any buyer's remorse thinking, what have I gotten myself into? Because we do every morning when we get up. Yeah,
I can see that. No, it's a one-time thing, and I can take a nap later, so that'll work out. But, I haven't hosted a radio show since my college days back in 1997 at Truman State University, so it's been a while. So it was good to be behind the microphone again.
Well, it's good to have you here. You guys do a great job. And once again, it's St. Louis Game Time. And how can people... Because I get it sent to me every morning when the Blues have a home game.
Sure. You can subscribe via email, or we have vendors that are set up outside the stadium. We have a vendor by the driveway to the garage. There's one by the 14th Street doors. And then our head vendor, who usually looks like Santa Claus, because he is a mall Santa Claus, is at 14th and Clark, just outside the City Hall parking lot.
There it is. St. Louis Game Time is the name of it. So, naturally, over the last few weeks, with what we've seen with Jake Allen, people are quite concerned about the goaltending situation. How do you feel about where the Blues are with this?
Well, there's a couple scenarios, I think. I think what happened in the Winnipeg game, where the team really tried to rally around Phoenix Copley, young guy getting his first start in the NHL, they played solid the first half of that game, and then they made a couple mistakes, a couple goals went in, and it just was a snowball rolling downhill. And they fell apart in the third period. So based on that game, I don't know if you can say that it's just the goaltending. The hallmark of a Hitchcock team defense is being strong in the middle of the ice. And if you watch, when the team is playing well, they keep the puck to the perimeter in their own end. And specifically on the power play, they'll even line up three or four guys in a row from the blue line to the goalie just to kind of cut the ice in half and keep the puck on the outside to one side or the other. And Winnipeg, Washington, all these teams that are scoring these goals on the Blues, they're coming right down the middle of the ice, and they're getting no opposition whatsoever. So I think, goaltending is an issue, team defense. But the thing with Jake Allen, his contract was up after this season, and he was going to be a free agent.
Mm-hmm.
Doug Armstrong, before the season started, during the summer, said, you know what, we're going to give you a four-year contract extension, $4.6 million a year. It doesn't even kick in until next year. So they've really painted themselves in a corner with, if they want to try to make a change, if they want to try to do a trade at the deadline, if they want to do something to change up the goaltending situation, they've really tied their hands because Allen's cap number doubles for the next 4 years after this season.
Did you like that move at the time last offseason? Where were you guys on the Elliott Allen decision?
Here's the thing. The franchise, really the front office, had an institutional memory of where these guys came from. Allen was a high draft pick. He was the starting goaltender for Team Canada at the World Juniors. He was an all-star at the AHL level. Brian Elliott, when he came here, signed a league minimum contract that was a two-way deal that he would have gotten less money if he had played in the minors. They never forgot the origins of those guys, the pedigree.
Mm-hmm.
So they were always, whenever it was a choice between Brian Elliott or another guy, they always chose the other guy. So it was not surprising that they traded Elliott when he said, you know what, I think I've played well enough. He's the career leader in the Blues for shutouts, save percentage, and goals against average. He's the best goaltender in those three categories in the history of the team, and they traded him for a second-round pick to Calgary. I mean, it was shocking at the time, but I understand because they just never were going to give him that fair shake because of the pedigree. Jake Allen, I think, could be a top-class goaltender. I think the number one issue he needs to work on is his preparation. Before the shot, before the face-off, before the start, he is not as good positionally as Brian Elliott. Brian Elliott is obsessed with being square to the puck, and he does everything to set up before the situation happens. He's big into being prepared and doing all those little things so that when the shot does come, when the puck is on him, he doesn't have to do as much. Where Jake Allen, he's moving side to side. He makes a lot of acrobatic and highlight reel saves because he didn't put himself in a position to save the puck in a simple manner.
He depends more on his athleticism than Elliott did. I understood why the Blues made that move. My question with the Blues is they made that nice run in the playoffs, and they got Brouwer because Brouwer was a type of player they said down the stretch and can push you through into the next round of the playoffs. And we saw that. He was everything that they said he was. We see Backes doing his thing, and he had a great playoff. And then they had a nice run, and I understand, you know, there were some decisions they had to make, tough ones. But then those guys who really were their identity, including Elliott through the playoffs, the three guys that got them as far as they went last year in the playoffs, suddenly gone, new identity, and I think they're still feeling the effects of that because the Blues don't really have a guy like Brouwer or Backes who can get you that goal in a tight game where, you know, you're killing yourself and maybe the skill guys have been neutralized. You need a guy in front. They don't have that anymore.
Kat, I totally see what you're saying, and I think during the first half of the season, there were a lot of people that said, you know, relax. This is a new team, new leadership, a new style. You know, give them time to play things out and kind of work the chemistry, work it, get it to come together. We're past that now. We're well into the second half. They only have 14 home games left the rest of the season. They're in a wild card spot right now. Mm-hmm. They actually have a losing record. They're 23-24 with a couple overtime and shootout losses. So
they don't count that. Usually they don't count the overtime losses, which is weird because a loss is a loss.
A loss is a loss,
but
right.
In the league, they don't do that.
Right. But they've lost more games than they've won. They have put themselves in a position leading up to the trade deadline in February where they're going to have some more tough decisions. And I think, you know, Doug Armstrong really got painted into a corner because he had the Backes, the Brouwer, the Elliott decision, the Steen extension decision, the Allen extension. I mean, he's had a lot of high-pressure decisions come all at once in about 6 months. And, you know, maybe two or three of them are working out. Here's the thing. Is it more important to make that run in the playoffs than to turn Backes and Brouwer into prospects or other players? Is it that performance now, or is it rebuilding or stocking the cupboard for going forward? That's the same decision they're going to have to make with Kevin Shattenkirk, because Kevin Shattenkirk is a hugely important part of this team. He's got more than 10 goals. He's 32 points, I think, on the season. He runs the power play. He's not going to re-sign here. They cannot afford him, and the money he's going to ask for in the offseason means he's going to walk. So do you try to keep him and try to make a run in the playoffs, or do you turn him into prospects or players?
And where are you on that?
I'd say at this point you almost have to make the trade, because does anyone think the Blues are going to make a deep run in the playoffs the way they've been playing this entire season? Not just the last week, not just the last month, the entire season. I don't think there's really any good stretch of hockey. I mean, they can't string together more than two wins right now. And you know, that's what you need to do. You need to win two or three in a row in the playoffs to go deep. If you can't do that, I think you're mismanaging your assets and making a mistake for the health of the franchise not to turn Shattenkirk into something.
Don't you think some fans are under the misconception that they can deal Shattenkirk and somehow get a player that's going to help them fuel a playoff run? Where when you're dropping a guy now, it's everyone knows it's because you need to dump his salary and you want to get young players or help down the road. That's why these deals happen, if they do happen.
Exactly. That's why at the draft last year in June, everyone thought the Blues would be active. And they were active. They traded Brian Elliott, and then they just used their picks. They didn't trade Shattenkirk. And partly, I understand, you know, he's going to be a free agent. He's an East Coast guy. He probably said, there's no way I'm going to sign in Edmonton, so don't trade me to Edmonton for Ryan Nugent Hopkins or somebody else. So the Blues have had their hands tied a little bit about where they could go. And, you know, opposing GMs, they're going to know what the situation is, where the leverage is. So they're not going to make a mistake and overpay for a guy that they could wait on at the deadline to pay picks or prospects.
They've paid out some pretty big contracts here in recent years that haven't necessarily panned out. Laterra and Bomeister.
Laterra makes more than $4 million. Bomeister makes more than $5 million. You know, even a guy like Carl Gunnarsson makes 2.9. He has 3 points in the season. You know, a guy they traded 2 years ago, Ian Cole, who has his name on the Stanley Cup, he makes 2.1. He's got 16 points, and he's a plus 19 on the season. The last five games, he's played about 24 minutes a game. He's their second-pairing defenseman. They would kill to have Ian Cole play that way for the Blues right now.
You know, I'm a Hitch guy. Like, I like him. I understand that sometimes he wears on his players, but I think he's done a really good job. But I think the Blues are in a situation now where, you know, at this time of year, if you're on the bubble as a playoff team, you try to push buttons. I don't think they have many buttons to push. So one of the buttons they can do, they already have Yo, who I think it's a mistake to give Hitch and make him a lame duck with a 1 year contract and then have the coach in waiting. But anyway, so at this point, if they press a button trying to shake it up, it's Hitch, right?
I would think so. And it wouldn't really cost them any more money unless they have to pay Mike Yeo more money to be the head coach the rest of the season. It's not like you're letting go of a coach with 2 or 3 years left on his contract. He's done as soon as the season's over. So it's a low cost, low impact move that's going to happen anyway, naturally. So yeah, I totally see that. But you have to remember that Doug Armstrong and Ken Hitchcock have had a long-term working relationship, and there's a lot of loyalty. And
Hitch has done a good job.
Here's the thing I think Hitchcock does the best. He gave the Blues a vision and a personality, and he made them a thing. They were a defensive team. They were a big physical team. They pressed the issue over the entire ice surface. You know, they say the 200-foot game. Basically, that means putting pressure on the puck no matter where it is. This team does not have that identity right now. And I think it's because the lineup that they put together in the offseason, and they said, you know, they had to play smaller and more speed and less size, that's not a Ken Hitchcock's team. I don't think he was really put in a position. We had a story on the website this week that talked about, you know, was Ken Hitchcock ever given a fair chance this season? And I think you have to say no.
Yeah, yeah. What was your opinion on the Hitchcock Yo 1 year relationship when that announcement was made in the offseason, Brad?
He's been the oldest coach in the league for a couple years now. I think he's 65 or 66. He's obviously, you know, the last 2 years in a row when they've lost in the playoffs, he's talked about having to make a really personal decision about whether or not he wants to keep going or he could walk away. And no one would ever begrudge him if he wanted to retire when they were, you know, kicked out of the playoffs by Minnesota 2 years ago or, you know, going to the conference finals. Leave on a high note. I don't think anyone would have had any hard feelings, but he decided to come back. The team supported it. They realized they needed to do something to put in place because Kirk Muller really was going to be the head coach.
That's what
team.
I thought too. Were you an advocate of that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know,
so what happened there?
I think Kirk Muller got tired of waiting and either he didn't like
but
the
why
money,
wouldn't they just make Muller the guy instead of Yo?
I think it goes back to the loyalty to between Armstrong and Hitchcock.
But why couldn't Muller still be in that spot for the year knowing he's going to get the gig just like Yo is in 17-18?
It either had to be the money or he didn't like the situation. And I could see where if I was in Kirk Muller's shoes and if I had any loyalty to Ken Hitchcock, I wouldn't want to be the guy in Mike Yo's shoes. If they've been together and have a relationship and standing, you know, you're basically peeking over the head coach's shoulder the entire time. And players, if they don't like what Hitchcock is saying, they can go back behind him to the other guy and complain and whisper and stuff. That totally messes up your chemistry and the working relationship between the coaching staff and the players. And I think Muller didn't want to be put in that position.
And you think about it. I mean, that's the way it always goes, especially if things go south for a team. You're going to gravitate toward the coach who will be there. I think it was unfair to Hitch. And the truth is, he said this during a Cardinal game when I interviewed him. Where, you know, the talk was he's going to retire and everything. He was like, oh, no, I couldn't live with a one-year deal. You know, I mean, he's retiring. And then as we got farther removed from that, I think he's going to end up coaching somewhere again, or at the very least be in someone's front office.
There's been some conjecture that he could be on the short list for the Las Vegas franchise team, the expansion team. And that would be, I mean, because you're not going to have a high scoring team with the expansion draft and the players that they're going to have. So they're going to have to play a strong defensive game to even be competitive in that first year, 2-3 years. He's the perfect kind of guy that they could get some kind of bargain basement guys, big guys, guys who aren't especially skilled on the puck, but they can check and they can skate. Those are Ken Hitchcock guys, and I could see him going there.
My question is, because I think the Blues have a lot of talent, and I think they should be a playoff team, and once you're in, who knows how it goes from there. But the key is they need Jake Allen to be at his best. As it sits right now, and we don't know what Jake's going to be when he gets back in goal, do you think this team has it within their ability to get to the playoffs and put something together there?
I want to say yes, because it's not like taking 2 or 3 guys off the team changes the whole makeup of the team, a team that was 2 wins away from playing for the Stanley Cup Finals. I think the flip side is they were 1 mess up in 2 game sevens in the first and second round for not making the third round of the playoffs. So was it that they were lucky they survived 2-7 games, or that they deserved to play in the conference final? It's really hard to parse that out. I think Jake Allen could come back refreshed. You know, there is a little bit of precedent. In 2013, Brian Elliott was struggling. They actually sent him to Peoria on a conditioning stint for 4 or 5 days in March. And since that time, he came back and has been an all-star. So it's not out of the realm of possibility that he could come back and play well. But, man, the whole track record, you know, you should expect what you should expect from this team after watching him for half a season, I think.
Allen was pretty good last year. What, do you have 6 shutouts last year?
True.
So maybe this is just one of those years where he just can't get anything done.
He was good
done.
In the early going, too, this year.
I would say, I think the goaltending last year benefited from that competition, where Brian Elliott and Jake Allen knew if they got into a little bit of a slump, they were going to ride the bench for a couple of games because the other guy was pushing them for playing time. I don't think you can say that Carter Hutton is pushing anybody for playing time. They've had Carter Hutton starting tonight and in recent games because they didn't have really any other options.
Now, a lot of focus is on the goaltending, and rightfully so, but there have been some defensive miscues where the goaltenders are put in bad situations. They've given up 18 goals over this 3-game losing streak. I think there's blame to go around, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, when you allow 6 goals a game, 3 games in a row, it's not just the goaltending. And like I said, they played well in front of Felix Copley for about half the game, and then things just start rolling downhill. I think if you, if you're in the stadium and you can kind of watch the Blues bench a little bit, when something goes wrong, they don't react very well. And it's not something that's hard to notice. It's not subtle. It's shoulders start slumping. And, you know, I think Jake Allen looks like he takes things very personally. And when he lets in what he thinks is a soft goal, everybody in the arena can see it. And you know, maybe they need a little bit more veteran leadership to really say, look, don't hang your head. It's 1 goal. We can come back. We can do this. You know, that rah-rah stuff is kind of hard to quantify. But, man, when something goes wrong, more wrong things happen very quickly after it, and their body language and everything doesn't appear well. Now, when they go to the Lumineers concert on Saturday night and hang out for photos and beers and stuff, it looks like things are great, like they did this past Saturday night after they lost to Winnipeg. That didn't look good, but it's bad, you know, what they're saying in Washington.
Is Odell Beckham Jr. on the boat?
Kind of. I mean, there was Colton Pareko, Robbie Fabry, Joel Edmondson, Scotty Upshaw.
Yeah, I'm looking at the picture right now.
Yeah. And it was taken by Shattenkirk. He's not in the photo. Everybody has a beer. Everybody has a huge smile on their face. And you just lost your 3rd game in a row, allowing 6 goals. And you let the young goaltender down in his first NHL start. And as soon as you get off the plane, you head to the concert. Because it was a 2:00 game. They probably got back to town around 5:30, 6:30, 7:30, somewhere in there. And then the concert was at 8. So they had to go straight from the airport to the concert. And then they're having the time of their lives. I know fans, it is hard to understand that a professional athlete, it's his job. And when he's not on the job, he wants to relax. And he's a real person with a real life. But the people who buy the tickets and live and die with the team, it's a little hard to swallow.
Brad, you are officially now being baptized into the Morning After family, and you didn't even know it because in the text inbox, one text, the cat you usually call it up these days, they're people. Let them live, fanboy. That's from Noko Turkeyneck, and then right under it, this guy is good. He knows his stuff on the Blues. That's from the 314.
Well, hey.
And that's when you know.
I've made it, baby.
I think sometimes as a player, if you are satisfied that you went out and did everything you could do, you played your hardest, I don't think there's necessarily that a reason why you have to hang your head for the next 2 or 3 days until you play again.
How much about professional sports is image-driven? And, you know, there are guys who are vilified in this town because it doesn't look like they give a fair effort every game. I mean, how many people were frustrated with Colby Rasmus, who had all the talent in the world, and people said, oh, he couldn't put it together because he wasn't dedicated and he didn't look like he took it seriously. I mean, why are people so infatuated with scrappy middle infielders on the Cardinals? Because they want to see effort and dedication.
Well, if you're talking about effort during the game as opposed also to, are we going to go have fun after the game?
Tight read.
That is a tight read. I understand what you're saying, Doug, but I think the image that you're projecting off the field is as important on the ice, on the field. And, you know, how often are guys who are good with charity work and community work given a little bit of a pass if they make some mistakes or have fall down a little bit because they're good guys, good in the community, good in the locker room, and project that image that they care as much as the fans?
I'll say this, you know, covering baseball as much as I do, it's been, you will die if you take every loss like it's the end of. There are so many games, and I know sometimes Cardinal players get criticized if they're because you can't live with every loss as the end of the world. And I think that would go to a certain extent for hockey, but I do agree with you, the optics of it. After a bad loss, maybe you keep it low key and let's not send out, you know, photos and stuff like that. But you have to understand, you know, a lot of times after a game, you just want to move past it and not relive it. And it's a very, very difficult life. I'm not saying they're not paid well and it's not, you know, a great thing, but you go through a bad stretch as a professional athlete, you want to get away from it.
Here's the thing. If they had never taken a picture, we wouldn't be talking about it. And I think it's telling they deleted the picture a little while later.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was bad optics and someone realized
it was. But I think fans see hockey players as hockey players and baseball players are just baseball players. And the players themselves see themselves as guys. That's my job. I did my hardest. I played as hard as I could. Now I'm going to go still live a life. And if somebody doesn't think that I should always be upset because we lost a game, then oh well.
I'm going to give you a little peek inside baseball for this show, right?
Okay.
And it's going to come as shock news to you. Sometimes we don't have great shows on this show.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to keep it real
right here. What year was that?
Thank you, Brad. Good for you.
But you know what?
We party all night long, even after a bad show.
We had a particularly bad show, and luckily Doug didn't take pictures of it, but I saw him at the local gas station after a bad show buying Chex Mix. Now, the optics of that are bad. Like, what are you going to celebrate? You're going to enjoy a snack now?
It didn't matter. I did my best, and the show was over, and I was going to dive into a bottle and some Chex Mix.
And he didn't take a photo of himself doing it on Instagram.
Who says I didn't?
Yeah, I think it was on Snapchat, actually, Brad.
Doug has a lot of accounts.
Yes, he does. A lot of platforms. Brad, it's been a pleasure to have you in. Our audience is either really enjoyed it or really hated it, but that's good.
How could you hate it?
Because it's somebody being somewhat critical of the home team, and sometimes that hasn't played well in this market.
Oh,
how can you be super positive? And this beats much better the last time I was on the show. After they lost to Minnesota, I called in, and the phone dropped out a couple times, and Doug thought I was being stabbed.
So, well, you weren't. Have you recovered?
No, I don't have any stitches or anything. No scars. Yeah. Okay.
Your publication is really good, and I mean, it's a rarity, right? They did it in Chicago or something like that?
Just 2 days ago, it was 22 years since the first fan-run publication sold outside Blues games. So we've been doing it for 22 years. I've been in charge since January 2013. There was one in Chicago. They ended publication. There's one in Toronto where they do a monthly newsletter and a guy stands at a subway station.
Seems lame.
Yeah.
The other guy's got stabbed.
I know. We do a new one, all 41 home games, regular season, and then playoffs. So it's 24 pages of stuff all about the Blues.
How many people you have writing for you?
Oh, we've got a rotating cast of characters. You know how that goes. I could not fill all 24 pages by myself. No.
For every game, you do every home game.
Every home game, 24 pages. There's the rosters in the middle, so it's a program. You know, we've got the building blocks, how each team was put together. We've got a cartoon. We got a prospect guy. I mean, we got all the bases covered.
And when the guys are selling it, are they going, extra, extra, read all about it?
Close. My head vendor says, by the fans, for the fans. And you can hear it from a block away.
Nice. Well, it is a great thing, and it's great that we have in St. Louis because no one else has it.
Mm-hmm. Brad Lee is his name, co-publisher of St. Louis Game Time. Kind enough to join us in the Gateway Buick GMC studios. Brad, appreciate it, sir. Thank you so much.
This was awesome. Thank you.
All right. There he is, Brad Lee. A lot of people, Doug, texting and asking if Brad is cute. Is this guy Brad hot? He sounds hot. Thanks. That's from the Sad Panda. Sad Panda hits on Cam Jansen every afternoon.
Does he really?
Yes, he does.
No, how does Cam react?
I think at first Cam was under the impression it was a woman.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
Can I make one clarification?
Doug answers all those questions.
Yeah, real quick.
I'm not related to Mike Lee. Mike Lee's a fine American. No relationship.
Right. I'm surprised he's not on hold right now.
Actually. Behind the curtain, being in the room with the sea monster back there,
yeah.
Really eye-opening experience. and the number of phone calls from a certain listener was, yeah.
Yeah, it's nonstop.
Okay.
Yeah, it's nonstop. That was a drop, just for the record. Bradley, St. Louis Game Time. Brad, let's make you a regular on the program. I really enjoyed it.
Awesome. Thank you. I'd love to.
There he is, Bradley. St. Louis Game Time is the name of the publication, and they do a great job, and I've enjoyed talking it over with Bradley. Larry Nichols is going to be with us, Doug, at 8 o'clock, and then S.E. Cup is with us at 9 o'clock. That's kind of a standard guest lineup.
Yeah.
You get the Wrestling Insider, who periscoped about Vanna White's apparel, followed by the CNN political commentator. I guess that's what you do?
Well, it's what you do if you have any feel for journalism.
Nice. Nice take.
And that's right in our wheelhouse.
And Brad is like, you know, guys, I want to go home and nap now. So
I've thanked him. Right. I've thanked him. Right. You don't have to stay.
You got up at 4:10 and still made it here by 5.
Yeah, I live in God's country. I live in O'Fallon. So this is I don't even have to cross a river to get here. So
oh, well,
yeah,
it's a nice deal.
But it's nice to watch the inner workings. And I was just scooting back from the microphone, so I didn't make any extraneous noise or anything.
The audience can't hear over the static anyway. Tim, 20K in a burrito if you fire the cat. That's from the Cozy Gerbil.
Well, that's a good deal.
If a tranny sells one of his testicles, is it still a tranny, Doug? Thanks. That's from Grandma's Secret Friend.
Yeah, he'd still have one left.
And thanks for not attacking this guest, Iggy. That's from Jim from St.
Well,
Chuck.
He's not in the room.
He's not in the room. Brad took Iggy's seat during the interview. When I looked out there, I noticed Iggy was cleaning. And I'm like, God bless him.
He's making use of his time.
Yeah, I tipped my cap. I noticed he was doing a little spring cleaning. Let's see. This show is great. Hashtag alternative facts. So is that a shot?
Sean Spicer jokes are all the rage, Tim.
Guys, this is the first guest in a while that should not drink bleach. It's from D. Hibby.
That's praise.
Awesome. Doug and I had a rough date last week, and I got home to see a bunch of photos of him smiling naked with the fan pagers. The bottom needs to be held accountable. It's from Weezer. Mm. Weezer, our former intern.
You're asking me?
Well, can't imagine.
I'm not reading the text.
No, but
I haven't seen Weezer in ages.
All right. Well, that's. I mean, you get the impression that you and Weezer are still in touch.
You would get the impression
by the text.
From the text, because yeah. All the texts are true. By the way,
Doug, fans don't expect players to be down after a loss, but they do expect to see a change in behavior during a losing streak that speaks to a trend rather than a trough.
Thanks. Say, oh, a trough.
That's from Kevin's brother, Jack Demoff.
I don't know. I just don't know that you can expect the players to hang their heads because they lost a game or two or three.
You're damn right we party on light long, Doug. We love the scat. Thanks. That's from the White Collar Gangster.
You know what? I'm going to suspend him. Where's my pen? Here it is. White Collar Gangster has been suspended. He's been suspended a period of 2 days' time. His name, even as we speak, is going into the leather-bound, handsome Llewellyn's Pub suspension log, Yule.
Guys, I know Iggy wasn't in the room, so I'll ask it.
Here we go.
Did this guy, Brad, enjoy banging at a young age? That's from Greg Oden's Stovepipe.
I was waiting for that one.
You were waiting for Greg Oden's Stovepipe?
No, it was someone to ask the guest. That's an ongoing. It's nothing to do with you. It had to do with a question Iggy asked.
Would you like me to answer?
Doug, you want to hear how he did in his teens?
Yeah. I was a late bloomer. I'll be honest.
I think anybody in sports talk radio was not having sex at a young age. That's my analysis.
And honestly, one of the coolest moments has been actually watching Doug write down a name and 2 days' time in the leather-bound...
Oh, it's real. People don't think it's real, Brad. You're seeing it.
Yeah, I can attest. I even took a picture. I'll put it on Twitter in a couple minutes.
Show him the pen.
You don't want your name on here.
Show him the pen, Doug.
That's Right Business.
By Right Business Products.
That's right.
And it is a Right Business Products pen.
Yeah. And you know what? They send them scores of those pens, and then Doug leaves them out, and everyone steals
them. They get swiped.
Well, I can see why. They're quality pens.
Well, they've got my name on them.
That makes them good.
And people still help themselves.
But the Logule is definitely leather-bound, though.
It is leather-bound.
Well, sure.
Look, he's running out of pages, too.
Well, this has got like 2 years' worth of suspensions in it. This is serious stuff.
Thankfully, I've never made my way into the Logule, so.
Okay.
There's still time.
Guys, this Brad Lee fellow is a legitimate journo. Have Brad on more often. Great job, 5-7.
Ah, appreciate it. Thank you.
Great job, 5-7.
I was here 5 to 7 a.m. for Dan Buffa, the normal host of the Daybreak Dose.
Okay, I was thinking.
Who does a great job?
The Bo Weevil of Bevo Mill sending that in. Iggy was cleaning. He must have just finished watching more tranny porn. That's from Dick Ford's Boy Trophy.
Don't bring Dick Ford into it.
Iggy.
That wasn't Dick Ford.
Put some of that Harry's Balm on post-shave. It felt like some hot, warm Doug all over my face.
No.
Okay, who?
Well, we have a guest.
It just said 314.
It just said 314.
But that leads me into Harry's razors.
Been suspended.
For decades, one big razor company has relentlessly increased prices and reaped immense profits at the expense of their customers. Well, now it's a game changer, brother, with Harry's razors. I've been using Harry's razors, and I can recommend them to our audience. It truly is a game change from the product I had been using. Harry's knows there's only one way to ensure quality, so they bought their own factory, and by taking less profit and selling directly to you over the internet, Harry's offers their blades at half the price, just $2 a blade compared to the $4 or more you'll pay at the drugstore. Harry's razors include everything you need for a close, comfortable shave, weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, a special offer for fans of the show. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code INSIDESTL at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, H-A-R-R-Y-S.com, promo code INSIDESTL. Tim, this Brad guy needs to drink bleach. God's country is not O'Fallon, it's Baldwin.
Oh,
Doug, that's from Kayavorsky.
Just a lot of traffic on Manchester there in Baldwin.
There is.
That's my only
beef. The main thoroughfare.
That's my beef.
I always thought, says Tim, didn't you always call St. Charles County God's country?
I did. Yeah. I did. Absolutely.
You're not a Tim Lemming, are you?
Oh, no.
I'd be surprised by that.
Oh, no.
I'd be surprised.
He did just hesitate to answer, Tim.
I might have been a regular for a short time on the old message board on Inside STL.
Oh, is that right?
Well, it was around the time that I was writing blue stories for Inside STL.
You ventured into the message board?
I was around. I think I might have done a little bit on the message board for that, but that was 08-09 blue season.
Doug, were you on the message board?
No. Were you vile fellow?
I had a few conversations with that Maggie girl, so I might have been borderline vile.
Yeah, part of me wonders if she was really real.
I've heard that theory before, and I think you might be onto something. Yeah.
But you didn't answer the question. Do you consider yourself a Tim Lemming?
Can I be a friend of the show?
FOTS.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
But that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not a Tim Lemming, right? You can be a Tim Lemming and a friend of the show.
Tim, do you need a water?
I've never applied officially for Lemming status.
Okay. All right. So we're going to say no, but it's yet to be determined, but a friend of the show.
Absolutely.
Okay. I'm good with that. Thanks, Tim.
I look at the fan pin.
Oh, you're on the fan page?
Yeah.
Yeah, you are on the fan page, aren't you? Doug, why don't you get on the fan page?
It's vile.
Right now it says add member, and there's a picture of you right next to the page. I could add you right now. I won't do that.
Yeah, I don't understand how people can add me.
I have Chris Domino as another suggested member, the former KFNS host from 10 years ago.
From Atlanta?
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
I know. I was texting with him last week, as a matter of fact.
Doug, I will say the number of Photoshops of you on the fan page has gone to like zero.
It's probably because I'm not on there.
Plus, I'm on your
That's a sign that you should come on, and I don't think that they would come back.
Yeah, but you said he didn't like it. Doug came out and he said he was really upset by that particular genre of posting, and I think people took it to heart because they like you.
People listen.
So
they
couldn't.
And a lot of that was Bobby Bestel.
8 years later.
And then Bobby Bestel was the one who didn't like it when people would post things about religion, and then that led to me attempting to buy the fan page from him. I was turned down, and then I created my own fan page.
There was a Bestel sighting last week.
He came by.
Yeah, it was a drive-by.
It didn't go well.
He's from Moberly. He came all the way here.
Well, online.
You don't necessarily have to come to St. Louis.
You don't have to be in the same
when
state.
When you say a sighting, I'm thinking you actually saw the guy.
On the fan pin, bro, on the fan pin.
Is that website, is that like a phone? Can you hold it up to your ear and hear him talk?
The internet is not a truck, it's pipes.
And it really pissed me off.
Kat, are you on the fan page?
No,
he's
I'm not on
Facebook, Brad.
Why not?
He can't figure it out. Oh, his computer is hard to figure out. Facebook, I couldn't figure it out.
How many pictures?
I cannot handle that sort of comedy attack, so I surrender.
I know your son's Tyler. How many pictures of Tyler could you put on the internet on Facebook?
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that.
You don't understand.
You always leave the families out of this.
I tweet a lot, but I keep my family out of it. Here's why. Because if I happen to take something, let's say I have a Blues puck, and I say something about the Blues, and 2 inches of my countertop happens to be in the picture, there's 20 comments about, oh, you're bragging about having granite. Mm-hmm. So I keep my family out of it. And the Facebook thing, I'm not good at social media, obviously, and I don't have a lot of time for it, so I tweet. That's my outlet right there.
In all fairness, you did tell us that you had granite, though, so, you know, I understand.
Yeah, humble brag. But he got it in, didn't he?
No offense. But
sure got it in.
No offense, but I am a regional cable sideline reporter. I mean,
one of the slogans for Game Time, the paper, is if you write for the paper, you could be semi-famous regionally.
Regionally. Yeah, that's all. Yeah. That's all you need.
The name of the paper is Game Time. Brad Lee, our guest in the Gateway Buick GMC studios, talking Blues hockey and hosted today from 5 to 7 on the Daybreak Dose, filling in for Dan Buffa. Brad, thank you so much for dropping by, sir. We appreciate it. BP Credit Card is the sponsor of our 7 o'clock hour. For a limited time, open a new BP Credit Card account and get $20 paid as a statement credit after your first BP purchase within 60 days of opening a new BP Credit Card account. Support the sponsors. Subject to credit approval. See station for details. The offer is valid for another week, January 31st, 2017. The wonderful Larry Nickel going to join us in the 8 o'clock hour. And S.E. Cup of CNN with us in the 9 o'clock hour. Your emails for the Hot Shots email of the day. A Lemmings lunch, the prize. This is the Ryan Kelly Morning After on the all-new 590 The Fan KFNS. Live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.